Brexit. There are reports of optimism this morning. The value of the pound is rising. So are UK and EU negotiators close to reaching agreement that could see a Brexit in 15 days that doesn't require border checks on this island? Will any agreement pass through the House of Commons? Will the people or the politicians of the North be asked to decide? Talks continued into the early hours in Brussels and will resume shortly. In London, the British Prime Minister met late with the DUP leader and deputy leader, and in Belfast, their Northern Secretary met with the Foreign Minister here. The main stumbling blocks continue to be how to manage customs on the island of Ireland and what role Stormont might have in endorsing any new agreement. Speaking on BBC Newsnight last night, the former Conservative Party Chief Whip MP Mark Harper said the Prime Minister is very aware of how much he needs the DUP and leader Arlene Foster on side.
The reason why the Prime Minister has been spending a lot of time with the DUP and why she didn't say no to the proposals, what she said was there gaps remain
if
in
she
the
could
negotiations.
Support, if she could support a partnership arrangement where Northern Ireland was in the UK customs territory but adhering to EU rules around tariffs, she said no.
She made it clear that wouldn't be acceptable, and she said gaps remain, and that's why the negotiations are still ongoing. But they're very important because I think if we don't have the DUP on board and we don't have some of my Conservative colleagues, the deal isn't going to get through Parliament. I think the Prime Minister is very well aware of that.
That's Conservative MP Mark Harper speaking to BBC's Newsnight last night. We heard from Brussels and Belfast earlier. Let's cross to London now and our correspondent Sean Whelan. Morning, Sean.
Morning.
A variety of noises from the people Boris Johnson will depend upon if he's going to finally win a vote in the House of Commons. What do they sound like this morning?
They sound like a cacophony of voices. The same problem that he's had basically ever since he became Prime Minister, and that is that he doesn't really command any kind of majority in the House. In fact, not even really command it. He's got this parliamentary minority, a minus 45. So effectively, it's government in name only. Gino in this country. We've heard a lot about Brino, Brexit in name only. Well, there you go. Gino is a new acronym at the moment. He has to put together a coalition, essentially, to carry Brexit through the House of Commons. And that means not just dealing with factions within his own party, not just having the DUP on board, but also crossing the aisle to opposition parties. So if you like, I can try and briefly give you a canter through the arithmetic on this one, because he's got to deal with 25 yes. hardline opponents of the previous withdrawal agreement that Theresa May had negotiated. These are the people who voted all three times against that agreement. You've got the 22 Tory rebels. These are people who got booted out by Boris Johnson for opposing a no-deal option. So these are a group who absolutely oppose the concept of Britain leaving the European Union without a deal. Then you've got the DUP, who have positioned themselves in a pretty pivotal way because the last, hardest, most difficult issue to deal with in those talks in Brussels is the Ireland, Northern Ireland border issue. They are seen as pretty critical because if they go against the government, they are likely to drag some of those, at least some of those 25 hardline opponents of the withdrawal agreement into their camp. Now, that group has been diligently worked on by the Prime Minister and his whips. They seem fairly confident that they will get most of that 25 onto their side, but still, there was another meeting last night with the so-called Spartans group, people like Ian Duncan-Smith and Mark Francois. They are going to take a fair bit of convincing. The leader of the European Research Group, Stephen Baker, he's more emollient in his dealings with the Prime Minister, suggesting that they might well be able to back the deal. So it looks like that group is split, that the very, very hardline opponents are a minority of it, but still the DUP's position could be critical in getting those numbers through. Then we come to opposition parties. The Labour Party, the government whips have been dealing with about 40 Labour MPs who they think might be tempted to come across. They think there's about 17 look likely to cross the floor and support a Boris Johnson negotiated withdrawal agreement. Then you've got the Liberal Democrats. They're completely opposed to Brexit, and they are looking to have a second referendum. They're going to be putting down a motion today To see if it gets selected by Speaker Bercow. If it does, they want to have an amendment to the Queen's speech voted on Monday that would provide for a second referendum here in Britain. And then, of course, there's the wider Labour Party and its strategy of trying to get a general election, negotiate its own Labour version of Brexit, then put that to a referendum of the people.
As you were reporting there, Steve Baker, the chairman of the European Research Group, some of the quotes after he had had meetings in Downing Street last night was that he said he felt optimistic that a tolerable deal might be reached. And as Tommy Gorman was telling us earlier, the meeting between Arlene Foster, Nigel Dodds and Boris Johnson at Downing Street, where the FT were reporting this morning about a possible pay packet in the event of a deal being reached. And given that any deal is unlikely to be very different from the Northern Ireland only backstop, the original deal that Theresa May tried to get her party to agree to, what is it, Sean, that will convince those within Boris Johnson's party to support him? Is it going to be politics or is it going to be the detail of the deal?
I think it's going to be the politics of the deal foremost, because there seems to be a growing sense that this might be their last shot at actually getting a negotiated agreement to leave the European Union. Remember, they could have left the EU at any stage over the past 6 months if they thought that walking out without a deal was a good idea. So it could have been done. But presumably it wasn't done because most people think it's not a good idea to leave the European Union without an agreement and do it in a disorderly fashion because of the disruption, particularly in terms of economic disruption, that would bring about. So they want a deal. They want to get an agreement with the EU and leave in an orderly fashion. And this is probably their best chance of doing that. The other reason is that Boris Johnson is a leaver. He was one of the leading figures in the Leave campaign, and that probably convinces enough of the hardline leavers and people who are opposing Theresa May's deal that, look, we can probably trust Boris Johnson on this in ways that we probably didn't feel comfortable in trusting Theresa May. I think all of these different factions that we've outlined are probably going to have to hold their nose and vote for a deal that they will quibble about various aspects of. But essentially, if they want to get out of the European Union in an orderly fashion and in a way that they can see clearly what is going to happen once they leave, then this is probably the time to do it. And it's probably not the time to be holding out for yet more and more and more concessions, because they know that on the other side, patience is wearing thin as well.
Sean, thank you. That's our London correspondent, Sean Whelan. 21 minutes past 8.